Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. They saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord God, we come to you today to worship you, to hear your word, and to be filled with good things to satisfy us and sustain us throughout the week ahead. Teach us to trust you more fully, to go wherever you call, and to put you first, always, in our lives. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may not be aware of it, but there is a decades-old debate in the Lutheran Church, as in many other denominations, about how we worship. In what are sometimes called the worship wars, many congregations indeed do battle over the myriad possibilities in which we as Christians choose to worship the one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some congregations prefer to worship using contemporary Christian songs, as you might hear on the radio. Other congregations, such as this congregation, choose more traditional hymns and our traditional Lutheran liturgy. Still others prefer the music of American or African spirituals and no written liturgy at all, even though there is a form to their worship. Some congregations even offer a blend of all of these styles of worship and music. And yet there is no one right kind of worship music, no one right way to worship. Jesus, you see, gave us no instruction on his preferences of our musical selections. Now, we do know that hymns were an important part of worship, even from the very beginnings of Christianity. In Matthew chapter 26, we read that after the Last Supper, and when they had sung a hymn, Jesus and his disciples went out to the Mount of Olives. They sung a hymn. Was the hymn they sang one of the Psalms? Was it an ancient version of Kumbaya? We can speculate or make an educated guess, but we really have no way of knowing for sure. The same can be said of how we administer communion. Jesus gives us only very basic instructions. St. Mark records them in this way. "And as Jesus and his disciples were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." The other gospel writers offer precious few additional instructions. St. Matthew includes the phrase for the forgiveness of sins. St. Luke includes the command to do this in remembrance of me. And St. John gives us no specific information about communion at all. Instead, he includes the discourse and command of Jesus that his disciples should love one another. How then are we to administer communion faithfully? Is it more proper to use unleavened bread or leavened bread? What about wafers? Or gluten-free? Or multi-grain variety torn from a loaf? And then there's the wine. Should it be red like the color of blood? Or white? Sweet like manischewitz? Homemade scuppernong? A hearty port? Or just juice? So many options, and yet no one right way. As a seminary professor once taught, the bread and the wine need only be the best that we can offer, such as to provide a foretaste of the feast to come. There are as many varieties of bread and wine as there are nations in the world. And yet Jesus does not tell us which bread is most proper or which wine he prefers. Jesus gives us the freedom to serve the best that we have available. The bread could be pitas in Lebanon or tortillas in Spain. What matters is not what we serve, but whom we serve. It matters not how we offer the body and blood of Christ, just that it is given for all. And it matters not how we worship, whether with drums and electric guitars or organs and voices, only that we worship the one true God with not only our lips, but our hearts as well. In our gospel text today, Jesus quotes Isaiah as he teaches the Pharisees. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." The Pharisees, devout and devoted Jews, are faithful keepers of the law. They worship God according to the law. They probably had the checklist right there every Sunday, or Saturday, in their case, that they checked off. They did everything that was proper, exactly everything that was required of them. They kept the law of man. But their hearts were not in the right place. They worshiped God for all the wrong reasons, out of obligation or pride, or just to uphold a tradition as it had always been passed down to them. They had a religion with God, but not a relationship with God. So Jesus held them to account. He said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." The traditions of the Pharisees required worshipers to perform many very specific duties, to keep all those laws, there was over 600 of them, in addition to the law of God. We know the law of God. We're studying it in Sunday school. We know the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet anything else that is your neighbor's." These are the laws of God that he gave to us, the Ten Commandments. And Jesus sums them up into two great commandments, just to make it simple for us, though it's not easy to keep. These two commands are, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments are all about building good relationships. Building good relationships with God and with one another. To keep these commandments demands not only lip service, but service to God and to one another. Love and forgiveness that truly must come from the heart. We know, though, that we cannot keep even two commandments perfectly. As sinners, every one of us, St. Paul's words to the church in Rome ring true to the church right here in Lexington, West Columbia. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus alone keeps all of God's commandments perfectly. He alone upholds God's commandments. He alone does not sin, does not fall short of the glory of God. He is God's glory given to us, given for us. So how is your heart today? How is your relationship with God? Can you describe it? If someone asks, do you have a relationship with God? Tell me what that looks like. Are we as a congregation, the Spirit-gathered people of God, striving to keep His commandments? Do we allow love to prevail in all circumstances? Or do we insist on our own way? To what traditions of man do we hold? Our customary way of worship? A particular style of music? A preferred gender of pastor? A specific line item in the budget? A certain way to commune? If we hold to these traditions of men, are we really striving for communion with God and one another? Do our holy relationships take priority in our lives, in every aspect of our lives? Or do we sometimes just go through the motions, holding fast to tradition for tradition's sake, giving honor only with our lips? If we are serious about being disciples of Jesus Christ, and I hope we are, we must ask ourselves these questions. They are heavy questions. As in the gospel text last week, we might too well grumble, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But listen, we must. As followers and disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to do that. To listen to Jesus, and even when we might rather go another way, to obey Him. To let Him reign over our lives and our minds and our hearts and our souls. And to serve Him alone. We are called to lay down our pride and give up our insistence on things being the right way or our own way. We are called to submit our wills to God and to love and to respect one another, just as St. Paul writes, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. So today, we call a truce in the worship wars and in anything else that would separate us from one another and from God. Anything at all that stands in the way of our relationship with Him as He intends and with one another as He commands. Let's lay down our traditions that might be hindering relationships with God and one another, so that then we can truly open our lips and our hearts to worship God and to love Him and to love one another as He first loved us. Thanks be to God. Amen.